This is Mythical.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's a takeout takedown when it comes to fried rice and chow mein. Which is the more satisfying side? This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiety.
And today, wait, what?
Yeah, I have a new last name now.
What the heck? Had you lost your old one?
Yeah, I got a new one. I found it in the recycling.
You found it in the bastion of true love that is a very lovely and tasteful Jewish wedding ceremony.
Yes, I did. I'm no longer Nicole Hendizadeh. I'm now Nicole Anaiety. You can also call me Nicole Anoyati. You can call me Nicole E. You can call me Nicole. And now, there's like a bunch of ways to say it.
I'm gonna just call you Nikki. Can I call you Nikki?
Absolutely not. That is the worst thing you can do. Do not ever call me Nikki.
All right, well, that's very fitting because today, Nicole, we are ranking all of the food at your wedding. Now, I thought the decision to go with yakitori and Brazilian barbecue was interesting because you got two different skewered meats. And it was great.
Oh my God. See, that's what I said, but I was a little bit worried that it'd be too meat forward and I needed some people to eat some veggies, a little bit of carbohydrates because they're gonna be drinking so much.
Yeah, yeah. No, I had some nice little Celatim going
you
on.
Did?
I felt very.
Was there a shawarma station?
There was. They had like kubide. They weren't doing the shawarma live. They had like kubide and like a steam table, and it was good. It was well done kubide. But I will say the yakitori. The dude was impatient, and the wind was blowing the heat on his coals out, and so I did eat a fair amount of straight raw ground beef.
I'm so sorry. Well, whatever.
No, point is, I'm very happy for you and Mr. Anaiti. And
thank you so much.
It's very lovely. And someone else has to change your last name on all the company websites, not me.
Yeah,
so
I know.
That's great.
Yeah, I already spoke to whoever I have to speak to.
Okay,
don't worry about
good,
it.
Good. Anyways, no, we are here to talk about a very non-wedding. You did not have a single plate of chow mein or fried rice at your wedding.
I know.
Which is, it gets points off in
okay?
my book. Yeah,
oh,
it's fine.
See,
it's fine,
so
it's
not okay. I got points off.
But that is what we're talking about. Nicole,
yeah.
Nicole Anaiati, Anaiati,
yes.
Sorry.
It's okay. You need to, you're going to learn the more that you say it, the more you're going to get used to it.
Are you saying the official pronunciation is Anaiati?
Anaiati.
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 Yes.
Nicole Anaiati.
Yes.
Fried rice or chow mein? What's your
okay,
pick?
Okay, so my answer's a little convoluted, and I apologize in advance.
Are you saying that this podcast occasionally might get convoluted?
Just a little bit, just sometimes. So my stance is chow mein is my preference when I am eating at Panda Express. Because immediately, my mind went to this debate is about Panda Express food. I don't know why. My brain was like, okay, Panda Express sides, like you're ordering your entrees, you're ordering your like a carb or whatever. And obviously, it's always chow mein. It's never the fried rice there ever.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm at home, when I'm at a Chinese restaurant, when I am ordering takeout, most of the time, it's fried rice.
Interesting.
Yes.
That's okay.
That's
so
my take.
One of the biggest complaints that we get about this podcast is that Josh talks too much and he generally sucks.
I refuse to accept that. I don't believe
one
that.
One of the
all.
Other biggest complaints that we get is the idea of regionality and that you and I have certain biases growing up on the West Coast, which is, of course, absolutely true. We are all victims to our own biases in some way
absolutely.
Or another. And our bias here, it is literally a straight Panda Express bias.
I guess.
Because if you go to the East Coast, right, like Panda Express started in California, East Coast.
Panda Inn. You ever had Panda Inn?
I've never been. So the original Panda Inn, Panda Express, it's like the Wolfgang Puck Express, right?
Exactly.
Like it
yeah.
started because there was a full-fledged restaurant called the Panda Inn in Pasadena that still does
correct.
An all-you-can-eat buffet on the weekends.
Yep.
RIP possibly due to COVID restrictions. Boy, do I miss buffets. But it's so funny because I remember looking up Yelp photos and it's literally just like a buffet of Panda Express items
so good.
The full restaurant Panda Inn.
Yeah.
The point is East Coast doesn't have Panda Express.
What do they have?
Just tons of mom and pop Chinese restaurants. Yeah.
Cooked by Chinese people.
Exactly. It's like how we have, you know, tons of mom and pop Mexican restaurants in California.
Makes a lot of sense.
You know, now you have New York just getting birria for the first time.
That's exciting.
And they're like all, you know, stoked on it. But I've had some of it and it's like, this isn't birria
in New York?
Yeah. Just like, well, it's not good.
Well, they'll learn. I think it's a process. Yeah.
It's like, you know, bagels on the West Coast. Anyways. Point is, there's a lot of mom and pop shops doing things, and it's very different from Panda Express, literally down to the name. So I agree with you. When I go to Panda Express, I get chow mein. Fried rice is just not my jam. I enjoy it. I would never turn my nose up at a plate of fried rice. But for me, pretty much anywhere I go, I'm taking the shot on the noodles. I think the noodles to me are almost always more pleasant, unless I think you need to keep up a certain sort of sauce coefficient. The other complaint that I get in this podcast is from Maggie, our producer, saying that I don't know what the word coefficient means. And no, it's not just you, Maggie.
Is that a math term?
Maggie, it's not just you.
Is that a math term?
Yeah, technically. But I just use it to mean like thing, like a variable. Like if you were to have a sauce coefficient.
Okay, hold on.
And Maggie, I've heard that from other people too. It's not just you, by the way. Like it's actual science people hit me up.
Okay, a coefficient is a numerical or constant quantity placed before and multiplying the variable in an algebraic expression.
Yeah, so I believe in this algebraic expression of takeout Chinese food, you need a consistent level, or I would call it a sauciness coefficient, to ride out the entire meal. So say you need a sauciness level of, I don't know, like 3 parts per 1,000. I don't know what the hell this means.
I have like a fifth grade math education. You're not helping me.
All I'm saying is if I have saucier mains, fried rice works better for me.
100%.
But if I have drier mains, then I like to just eat a plate of stir-fried noodles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Because to me, rice, like the strength of rice is to have a saucy component on it, to soak up anything, right?
Soak it up, yeah.
It's like eating rice with choresh.
Exactly.
Right? Whereas I don't even need the rice with cabbage.
Rice with curry, rice with anything, yeah.
Exactly. But for me, like rice and a drier dish doesn't do much for me. And whenever I go to Panda, I'm typically getting the dried candied meats, right? The ones that are fried, the ones that don't have sauce just like oozing off of it.
Correct.
You know, but if I'm getting like, you know, a mapo tofu or something, I love having rice and, you know, fried rice absolutely to soak that up.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just when I'm at home, I feel like the ease of cooking fried rice is definitely for me. Like it's just you throw things in a wok, you cook it up with whatever veggies you have, whatever proteins you have. But whenever it comes to chow mein, I feel like there's more artistry that goes into chow mein.
It's harder to have you like tried to do a traditional chow mein at
home? No, I don't trust myself to make a good chow mein.
It's hard because
I trust myself to make a good fried rice.
I think so wok cookery, right, is like really big in Chinese food.
Absolutely.
Obviously, and the strength of wok cookery is a ton of surface area.
Correct.
And really, really freaking high heat. And that's something that's really hard to get, especially when you're cooking on
noodles.
And so noodles, you need to get that like chewy texture of chow mein, which Panda Express chow mein is really freaking good.
It is so good.
All of y'all on the East Coast, get out to the West Coast just to eat our In-N-Out and our Panda Express.
It's
and
so
I'll
good.
Show you some good taquerias out here, too. But if you don't have that super high heat and a lot of surface area in your own home kitchen, if you're using a saute pan on a burner, then you get steam developing and it overcooks the noodles. We even did this when I did like the fancy Panda Express episode for Fancy Fast
Food. Sure, okay.
We did the chow mein like fully from scratch, right? We made the fresh
I remember.
Noodles. And it was fine. It was good. But we, like, I didn't get the texture of that slight oil crispiness with the chewy bounce on the noodles. It kind of overcooked and steamed together.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, it's like, I mean, fried rice, people could say the same, right? That you should use a wok for it.
Yeah, sometimes fried rice can also get soupy and gross and, you know, it doesn't have that, like, I love a little crisp on my fried rice. Mm-hmm. A little tajik always makes me happy.
Yeah,
But definitely I feel like noodles have a more intense learning, like you have to know how to cook noodles.
And I think they're worse if you screw it up.
Yes, like a crappy fried rice is still salvageable.
I agree with that.
But when you have, you know, limp noodles and like overcooked veggies and the sauce is just sticky and gross, there's no way of saving it. Fried rice, you know, it's like you add a little bit more vegetables, you add a little bit of water to help cut it out, you turn up the heat, you let it crisp a little bit more, you add an egg if you really, really want to. Yeah.
Yeah, if you just keep, especially if you're doing the proper thing and letting your rice dry out overnight using leftover rice.
For sure.
Because if you're using fresh rice, then it's going to steam and it's just going to get a gloopy mess. But
never use fresh rice.
Even if you do it, because like I've done that. I will talk about the way that I cook at home. People are like, that's sacrilege. Never do that. And I'm like, I'm not trying to get a Michelin star. I'm trying to make dinner for myself in 20 minutes so I can watch A Handmaid's Tale for the next 2 hours.
Oh, I love Handmaid's Tale.
I just finished season 4.
Oh, my gosh.
I found my... It's like... Wow, oh, my God. The final episode? What, incredible.
Hello, Depresso?
Yeah, but like it's like Depresso for multiple reasons.
Okay, cool.
And
can't
like,
wait.
Yeah,
don't
violently
tell me,
Depresso.
Don't tell me,
anyways,
don't tell me.
But that show became a burden on my life. What a brick to the face. Every episode is just like,
yeah,
geez.
Rocks. I love it.
Oh, watching that show with your romantic partner is terrible,
that's
too.
That's what I do.
Oh, I just started like apologizing to Julia. Like, I'm so sorry for what we did.
Really?
I promise to never start an authoritarian state, baby.
Me and David have so much fun watching
oh,
it.
Oh, God, brutal.
We love it.
Anyways, point is, when I go to a restaurant, I want to eat something that I can't do myself. That is
something that my mom and dad say all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that why you don't get Persian food at restaurants?
No, we do. But a lot of the times they're
better?
Like, yeah, they're just like, why would we go out and do this when we can do it at home? You know?
Yeah.
Like, so I understand that mentality 100%.
I'm the ultimate we have food at home guy now. I'm going to be such a good dad.
Yeah?
My kids are going to ask me for things and I'm just going to go, no, we have food at home.
You know what's in my fridge right now?
What?
Blue Moon, water bottles, 4 Pepsi cans, and the top of my wedding cake. That's what's in my fridge right now.
Mine's actually not far off. It's like 6 Modelo's, 19 condiments, eggs that like are past the expiration date, but I still think you could eat.
Oh, no.
And then like some kale.
Okay,
so yeah, I'm not great now.
Very college dorm of you.
Oh, super,
yeah, super.
College
dorm of you.
Here's another question. If you had to choose, this might be a good podcast topic for another day, though.
Okay.
If you could only eat out for the rest of your life versus only cook at home for the rest of your life, which would you choose?
Oh, man. See, I'm a new woman now. And I don't know if I want to spend so much time cooking when I could just be eating. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
No, it does. I've gone back and forth on this question.
I do love cooking, though. I really do, but it can get exhausting if you do it, like, I don't know, 3 times a day, every day for the rest of your life.
And imagine, like, if you wanted, like, a papaya salad. If you want a proper papaya salad, which is a Thai dish, one of my favorite dishes, to make it proper, I mean, you need the Thai wooden mortar and pestle to pound it out. You need, like, a special tool to shave off the green papaya.
Yeah.
You need to go find green papaya somewhere. Like, that's the thing on that question that trips me out, because I agree with you. Cooking to me is very therapeutic. I love doing it. Doing it all the time certainly gets exhausting.
Sure, yeah.
But then, like, if I want a papaya salad, if I want carbi jim.
Exactly. What are you going to do? Cook it?
Am I going to spend 3 days?
Am
no,
I
want to go somewhere that is making food that I can't do. Some place that has a turbo burner for a wok.
Exactly.
That can make me beautifully crispy chow mein with a soy sauce, just like soaks into the noodles.
Yeah.
And it's somehow equally like dry and wet at the same time. And to me, Panda Express does a really good job maintaining that texture. Meanwhile, their fried rice, to me, it's like a little bit under seasoned.
It's a little dry.
Yeah. However,
but the peas, there's peas in it.
There is. I do love the peas. Oh, that little bag of mixed baby frozen veg.
Yeah,
girl.
Is it frozen or dehydrated? Because sometimes my soul tells me these are dehydrated and reconstituted in water, but maybe they're frozen.
It could be frozen. I don't know.
I
went to a teppanyaki restaurant for the first time in
Rock
my entire life. Yeah,
cool.
I know. I'm really living. I've still never been to a Benihana. This is an independent place.
You've never been to a Benihana?
I've been
3 times.
Shout out to Miyako in Margate on the Jersey Shore. They were understaffed by about 100 people, and the teppanyaki chef, he came out. Also, it's fascinating because they call it hibachi.
What is the difference between teppanyaki and hibachi?
So hibachi is like a small grill that has nothing to do with the giant teppanyaki flat top. But I think it was just this kind of misnomer that started happening where people started calling it hibachi and then it stuck. Benihana literally on their website has an explainer being like, hey, this isn't hibachi. Hibachi is a small grill. This is teppanyaki. But also a lot of people say hibachi. And so if you want to call us that, whatever, just come give us your money.
Smart. Did you know that that's Steve Aoki's dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Devin Aoki's dad.
Wait, Steve Aoki and Devin Aoki, the actress, are siblings?
I think so.
Can you Google this real quick?
Yeah.
Devin Aoki, fantastic in both Sin City as well as Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh, his half-sister is model Devin Aoki, half-sister.
What a successful family between Sin City, the Hava Nangila house remix with Timmy
Boneless.
Trumpet.
I was going to say the song Boneless rocks.
Anyway, so there are other styles of fried rice, not just like, so
sure,
what we're talking about
Hawaiian
is
fried rice.
What's Hawaiian fried rice?
I don't know. Whenever I go to the fried rice, whenever I go to Hawaiian restaurants, they have like it has like spam and like stuff in it.
Oh, good. Oh, spam fried rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
As far as like when we're talking about fried rice, like in America, I think we're typically talking about Cantonese style food. A lot of Cantonese, Hunanese.
Okay.
Anyways, point is there are a lot of regional variations on these noodles that also
really?
And noodles and rice that have very similar names. So if you talk about chow mein on the East Coast, they're likely talking about the crispy noodles that they call Hong Kong style chow mein.
I've had Hong Kong style chow mein in San Francisco at a dim sum restaurant.
Was it like the kind of crispy? It was like a crispy bird's nest, like a
it
bed.
Was a nest. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was really good.
That stuff's great, and they'll put like a Hong Kong style gravy on it.
Really good.
Oh man, smothered pork chops on the crispy noodles.
Delicious, delicious.
But if you go to the East Coast, they will call the soft noodles that we're referring to as chow mein, lo mein.
I know that.
Yeah,
correct.
Which is really interesting to me, and it comes from first immigrants on the West Coast to start slanging noodles were from Taishan or Toishan,
okay,
which is in Guangdong, and then Canton, so like Cantonese style crispy chow mein, which is somewhat near Hong Kong, is
mm-hmm.
now called Guangzhou.
Guangzhou. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so there was this weird little name mix up. So there's like so many freaking styles of noodles, right? But we only get like a small one, ditto with the amount of fried rice. Pretty much every culture figured out, yo,
true.
Fry rice with oil and tasty things, and that is a good dish.
Mm-hmm.
What are your favorite, other than spam fried rice, do you have any other favorite fried rice dishes out there?
I don't know if I have different fried rices that I really gravitate towards, but I do love, there's one thing I love in like not Panda Express chow mein, and that's wood ear mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
The wood ear mushrooms and the bamboo shoots that
wood ear
you get.
Mushrooms are the super, they're very like thin and black and almost have this kind of like crunchy.
They're like, if you don't like cook them properly, they can be really nasty.
Yeah, I've undercooked wood ears and they're not good.
If you've undercooked it, it's like chewing through like rubber bands.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a beautifully cooked chow mein with bamboo shoots and wood ear mushrooms, it like changes the game.
Yeah, the wood ear mushrooms, they have this, I would call it like a cartilaginous snap.
Correct, yeah.
It's almost like the texture you get eating jellyfish or...
Or tendon.
Yeah. Or what's the chicken gizzards?
And really?
Have you ever had chicken gizzards? They got that like this snap to them. It's almost a crunch.
Times. Really? I've never had a crunchy gizzard.
It's funny. I've never had crunchy tendon because every time I have tendon, it's generally in Vietnamese food and it's like cooked.
I don't know. But like I think maybe I've just had undercooked tendon.
That might be it. But yeah, I don't super, super love egg fried rice. I think it's like a very simple and tasty dish.
I love egg fried rice. Like eggs in the fried rice?
Yeah, I mean, like that's like egg fried rice is like what Panda Express. I mean, they're kind of skimping on the eggs a little bit at the Panda Express. But like that's like your classic, you know, egg fried rice. However, if you go to like, say, the Indonesian nasi goreng.
Yes.
Right? With, what is it, ketchup manis, which is the sweet soy.
I've had a nasi goreng in an all-inclusive resort in Mexico. It was really good.
Why did you have nasi goreng at a resort in Mexico? Is that what they do?
I don't know. I saw it there and I was like, hey, I know that dish. I've seen it before.
I've never been to an all-inclusive resort, but I desperately want to go.
I've been once and I never want to go again.
I just, really?
It's not for me.
Why?
I'm an explorer at heart. So me being cooped up in a resort, albeit it was a gorgeous resort and it was stunning and I had the most beautiful experience ever. I want to go out.
I just want to be taken care of.
Really?
I'm the opposite.
I like force David to go on a bike ride with me around and like find a hut. I'm like, that hut has food. I know it does. Like I'm that kind of person.
Did you find food in the hut?
I found ceviche negra. And it was black ceviche, and it was really good. So it was the best thing I had in Mexico was at a little hut. And I just, like, propped up my bike, and and it was raining. It was, like, thunderstorming the whole time, and it was really fun.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Speaking of Mexican food, you ever had a Mexican chow mein?
Do you mean like Peruvian?
Well, no, so
chow mein?
So
I've never had Mexican chow mein.
Well, so chow mein is one of those things that spread across the entire world, especially like you know, in its prepackaged form. Like you can get the little, was it La Choy does the grocery store, you know, chow mein and stuff. Were you a food stylist for La Choy? I feel like you were a food stylist
for every
brand. No, I wasn't.
That was the one brand I couldn't get under my under my belt. Sorry.
But so they'll do, actually, I believe it's more popular in Guatemala. They call it like tostadas de chow mein. And chow mein kind of becomes one word.
Stop.
Dude, look up tostadas de chow mein right now.
My gosh.
And it is literally just a tostada that has just this very like saucy sweet soy chow mein on it.
Oh, yum.
And it is absolutely delicious.
Wow.
And I love the fact that chow mein has such this like big cultural, you know, kind of like touch point to it that's spread across the entire world. And you can have stuff like tostadas at chow mein. For me, I mean, that's the biggest selling point of chow mein is that it traveled the world enough to end up in Guatemala to be on top of a tostada.
Beautiful. It's spelled C-H-O-M-I-N, chow mein.
Yeah, chow mein, yeah.
That's amazing.
Kimchi fried rice.
Oh,
that's
an God.
Elite. To me, that is maybe the elite fried rice dish.
I love kimchi fried rice. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Do I love it more than Chinese fried rice? No.
No? You're not willing to say. I mean, we don't need to pit two starchy, delicious queens against each other. But I'm just saying, like, because if you're talking fried rice versus chow mein, like, are we exclusively talking about the Panda Express, the Chinese, you know, steam
table?
I mean,
we don't have to be exclusive about it. We don't have to be exclusive about anything, to be quite honest.
It's just any fried rice dish versus any of the best. Because, I mean, like, chow mein, I think, literally just means either fried or mixed noodle, right?
Uh-huh.
Mein is a bastardization of mian.
Mian.
From Chinese.
Correct.
I mean, I'm certainly not pronouncing anything properly, but that's where it comes from. So, like, if we're just talking about any fried rice dish versus, like, any, you know, mian stir-fried noodle dish.
Come on, Josh. Give it to the people. They want to know.
So, okay, one thing I do love, steam table restaurants.
What's that?
So a steam table physically refers to when you go to, a Panda Express or most Chinese takeout restaurants,
mm-hmm.
You know, they have this giant bar that is just filled with hot water, and then you put a metal pan
onto a hotel pan,
yeah. And the steam from the water just keeps the food hot for a long time and keeps it above the FDA-regulated temperature so you can just, you know, splop it onto somebody's plate. And I love just going into a restaurant and being able to see all of my food options available, and I can just point. I go, I want some of that, and then they slop it on there. So point is, not only do I love the Chinese version of that, but Filipino restaurants.
Can you take me? You keep talking about these Filipino
restaurants. We gotta go.
Josh, I'm hurt. I want to try the Filipino hot dish steam restaurant that you always talk about.
We should go to Nani Gloria tomorrow for lunch.
Fine, let's do it.
Because a rice dish that I prefer to egg fried rice is Filipino garlic rice.
Oh, well, that's danky dink.
Yeah. I mean, like, where do we – I mean, it's, you know, it's, like, steamed with the garlic and typically cooked with some broth or MSG, so you're getting that flavor.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the other option – I used to not trust my brother because he would get steamed rice at Chinese restaurants, and I was always why?
I would, too, sometimes, though.
Just as a change-up?
No, I mean, my dad – so my dad has a lot of GI issues, so we couldn't always get the fried rice because it made his tummy hurt. So we would just, like, opt for just steamed white rice. And also, sometimes when you eat, like for example, shrimp with black bean sauce, which is one of my favorite dishes ever to get at a Chinese restaurant, sometimes you just need that white rice to soak up the sauce so the rice tastes like the black bean sauce.
No,
and not
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think there's like definitely something to be said for just steamed white rice as a side to especially like steam table Chinese American dishes, like the saucier ones, because you need that like blank canvas, right? It's like
Correct.
Taking a plain piece of bread and just soaking up any flavorful liquid with it.
Yes, yes, yes. What were you saying?
Garlic rice.
Okay, yeah, what about
I'm trying to think of the Filipino Tagalog word for it. But I recently went to another Filipino restaurant, and I was faced with the choice. They give you the same choice. They give you pancit or garlic rice, and I chose pancit. And then I saw the garlic rice, and then I immediately had to go back and order a separate side of it.
Uh-huh.
And so the noodles versus rice dichotomy does not always work out in your favor if you favor noodles, as I typically do, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying.
I like pancit, but I feel like it's something that I need to try more so I can just have more variations of pancit.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love garlic fried rice. That's Filipino style. So good.
Let's keep going around the world, though. I mean, like, if you think of the best stir-fried noodle dishes and the best stir-fried rice dishes, like, you got to go to Thailand.
Oh,
for me, like if you had like a Thai crab fried rice with the basil in there.
No, I haven't.
Ooh.
Where can I get that?
Night Market Song, great crab fried rice. But
I had the pastrami.
I just typically
there.
Like so many times if I am faced with the choice between noodles and rice, I will almost always go noodles. There are very few exceptions to where rice to me has proven more beneficial, but also this is definitely like a deeply cultural thing.
Maybe. Yeah.
Right? Like, I didn't grow up with – the only rice I grew up with in the home was rice-a-roni.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was cheddar broccoli rice-a-roni. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
I don't think it's bad.
Rice-a-roni started by a Syrian immigrant.
I know. Yeah. You told me a while ago.
I was very excited when I learned that fact.
I know.
That's why there's the vermicelli in it.
I understand.
That's the roni and the rice-a-roni.
I get it.
Why is no one else's mind blown by this?
I don't know. You like to repeat this story often.
It's rice and macaroni. Rice-a-roni.
My dad loves rice-a-roni, in case you're wondering. We have like 4 boxes of the wild rice pilaf at home.
Dude, that stuff's fire.
Yeah, he loves it so much.
But talking about like that like cultural affinity of like, you know, noodles versus rice versus bread, like my starch of choice, almost without fail, is a bread. And typically a flatbread.
Interesting.
Like, I love going to the Armenian bakeries and just getting, like, those giant sheets of lavash.
Stop. I love Armenian. If I could be any restaurant, I would be an Armenian bakery next to the Kaiser Permanente.
Is there an actual Armenian bakery next to Kaiser Permanente? Or you just want to put one there?
No. There's one there. And every time I would go for a blood test, it's next to the place, the religion, Scientology.
Oh,
it's next
fun.
To the Scientology Center, which is also next to the Kaiser. And then there's this little bakery called Toron Bakery. And every time I would go get like blood tests or like checkups and stuff, I would go there, I would get a spicy cheese burek and a Sprite and then go back and get my test results. It was the bomb.
Shout out to Armenian bakeries out there.
I love
get
Armenian
that
bakeries.
Ajarian
Lahmacun. Yeah,
so good. What is it, matnakash is the
what's
other
matnakash? I don't
it's
know
it's this other bread. It's got this trippy pattern to it. It's like almost like a half raised like focaccia. But point is that there's always gonna be like cultural biases
sure,
to the type
yeah.
of starch that people yeah eat, you know?
I grew up with rice every single day. White rice was the way to live. If your food did not have white rice next to it, you weren't eating food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was always just like bread because you just like buy it. It was readily available. Like sandwiches were half my meals.
Yeah.
I remember watching this video that was, this is just shows you the YouTube rabbit holes I go down. It was like North Koreans try American barbecue for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was a
were
lot
of defectors.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't exactly.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. But they were in, you know, South Korea at the time and someone was eating pulled pork, like just, you know, chock full of American barbecue sauce on it. And they were like, this is very delicious. The meat is very tender. Oh, they're eating a pulled pork sandwich is what it was. And then they were like, but I don't understand why this would be on bread. Like, why would you not put this on rice? This would be so good on a bowl of rice. And I started thinking about that. And I was like, one, I would absolutely just eat. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, like Hawaiian kalua pork on rice. And I'm like, that makes sense. But through my lens, it's like, no, this is like bread sandwich. That's the starch that goes with this.
Probably because it's loose meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love loose meat in a sandwich.
Yeah, I've realized that about you since I've known you for a few years. You're a loose meat man.
I'm a loose meat man. But that's like, you know, my thing is I didn't grow up with rice. There's certainly rice dishes that I like love. Cam Tham from Vietnam. It's called broken rice.
Oh, like broken rice salad or is that fried rice?
I think you're thinking of the Thai dish Nam Khao Tod, which is the crispy rice salad.
I love crispy rice.
But no,
salad.
This is like, it is a steamed rice dish, but it's the rice kernels are actually like broken.
Interesting.
And it comes from, you know.
What do you mean broken? Like it's, they break it? Like so, the people cultivating it break it or?
Yeah. So what it used to happen is they used to sift the rice when Vietnamese farmers would, you know, sort of like turn it in. This was like the farmers like rations. They would sift the rice and then the broken kernels that weren't whole, that they didn't want to sell, they would, like, you know, give back to, like, the peasant farmers. And,
okay.
And so you, like, you know, steam these, like, broken rice kernels. And it's so cool because they kind of get, like, slightly unevenly cooked, and it's just like it's almost the couscous of rice.
Cool.
And it's really freaking delicious. And then you eat it with like the nook mum, which is like, you know, the fish sauce, the lime.
Yeah.
And so to me, like, and that's something I grew up a lot. It was like my stepmom's favorite dish.
Sure.
And she would bring it home all the time with like the fried pork chop and the pickles and all that.
Yeah.
And so to me, like, that's a rice dish I really look back on very fondly. But other than that, I'm not the biggest rice guy.
Well, I'm a rice girl through and through. I love rice.
You're a rice queen.
I love rice.
Best rice dish in the world.
I just love carb. I'm not going to lie. I love carbohydrates, man. Give me a piece of bread. Give me a bowl of noodles. Give me a bowl of rice. I will enjoy every single one. But I did grow up with rice more than anything else.
What's to you, like, greatest rice dish in the world? If you had to choose one rice dish, deep for the rest of your life.
Oh, my gosh. It's just Persian rice. I'm sorry. It's
just straight, like,
steamed.
Just
a bowl of Persian rice with a little bit of the rice reserved mixed in with some saffron that you brewed with a little bit of water. And then you just beautifully seasoned with salt and a little piece of crispy rice. And I'm happy. That's all I need.
That's like a comfort, right?
That's all I need. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can have some fun stuff in there, like some dill and lima beans. You can put some, you know.
Talking about bagali polo?
Bagali polo, yeah. Sometimes you can put some, you know, raisins and candied orange peel and pistachios.
Shirin polo?
And then other times, no, it's great. I'm having so much fun. And then other times you can like put like sour cherries.
Albalu polo?
Josh, I'm so proud of you. 3 out of 3. Oh my gosh. Honorary Persian man. But yeah, I just love, I mean, Persian rice, just simple white Persian rice with a little bit of saffron on there. I'm just happy the way it is. Noodles, though, my favorite noodle dish of all time, holy cannoli. Is it pho?
Oh.
Is it? Is pho a noodle dish or a soup?
Oh, that's so pho, like, technically, I believe
what
refers
do you think,
to
Maggie?
Banh pho, which is the cut of the actual noodle. But a lot of Vietnamese restaurants don't use that banh pho noodle for their pho.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a toss up. But I do agree. I mean, I love rice noodles. The version, the thing that you have with that bowl of Persian rice is me. What you do is you crack open the King's Hawaiian rolls. You rip one out. Nicole, here's the thing. You wrap it in a wet paper towel and you put it in the microwave for 6 seconds.
Okay. Okay.
And then you pry it open with the fingers. Just a little bit of steam comes out.
Okay.
And you take some margarine. Can't be butter.
I was gonna say
can't
butter.
Be butter. No. Got to be the Imperial margarine stick that costs 79 cents. And you schmear some of that in there. It melts to a very weird annatto seed and turmeric, or not turmeric, just probably yellow food dye tinge color onto the bread. And then it's just a warm hug inside your mouth.
Sometimes a little bit of bread and butter just makes your day. You know what I mean?
Just makes
sometimes
your day.
Just a little nibble of bread and butter is all you need just to be reminded of, you know, I'm at peace with myself.
And that's beautiful. Also, shout out to the guys at Food Beast who once just snuck in a pack of tortillas into a Korean barbecue restaurant and then griddled them so they could make Korean barbecue tacos. Because that's like the most genius move of all time.
Oh my gosh, is that like legal?
I don't know. I'm so afraid of being yelled at that I would never do it, but I really want to.
Okay, hear me out. We do the same thing, but we take pita bread. And then we make shawarma. We make Korean barbecue shawarma.
Let's take pita to the Panda Express to see if they can do a little Beijing beef pita sandwich to go.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
I put a little bit of casseroles in there.
Is your nose stuffy?
My nose is a little bit stuffy. First up, we got Nathaniel Guerrier. Haitian food is underrated. I think if there were more Haitian businesses, it would rise in popularity. I think that is probably very true because
I
don't know a ton about Haitian food and I would really like to eat it.
I only know about pickles, and that's about it.
I know Soup Jumeau,
which
is to celebrate Haitian Independence Day, I believe. Successful homegrown slave revolt. In history, Haitian Revolution is a very awesome part of history, and Soup Jumeau is a very awesome part of that history. I just don't know much about it, and I would really like to because I tend to really love Caribbean food, but
we don't
get a ton in LA. We get, you know,
We have Cuban food. We have some Puerto Rican food.
Not a ton of Puerto Rican food. Not a ton of Jamaican. There's like a handful of Jamaican restaurants.
Maybe I've had Ecuadorian food. I don't know. Is Ecuador considered Caribbean?
No, Ecuador is just straight South American.
Okay.
Shout out to Rashida from Bridgetown Roti for making delicious Barbadian food.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would love to see more Haitian food.
Me too.
I believe that it is underrated. So I wish I would have eaten more of it.
Very underrated. Would love to try more. So if you are from Haiti or you have Haitian ancestry, please open a restaurant in Los Angeles.
Send us your Haitian food. I will eat any food that we get sent in the mail.
Don't promise that, please.
I will. I will do it.
Okay. Dutch Ninja Panda says, carne
adobada.
Carne adobada is the best. Did I say that right?
Adobada. The V turns into like a B.
Adobada.
It's spelled adobada, but it's pronounced like adobada. Okay.
Carne adobada. I can't say it. I'm sorry. It's not working. My brain can see the shapes of the letters, but I can't say it.
Well, it's like the word like vato. It's pronounced like vato, right?
Adobada.
There it is.
Carne adobada is the best Mexican-style meat preparation versus carne asada, carnitas, al pastor, and barbacoa. I like it, but I think I'm more of a carne asada girl.
It's really interesting because in Mexico and in like, you know, Mexican American food, there's so many regional names for so many different things.
Deshebrada?
I had deshebrada last night, actually.
I like that.
You like that?
Good. That's
so deshebrada just means like shredded, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people confuse machaca with like deshebrada, which just means like shredded.
Yeah.
Because machaca is typically shredded, but machaca is actually like sun-dried beef that has been kind of like almost ground after like shredded and like ground and then sun-dried and reconstituted. But that like speaks to this point of there are a lot of regional names for a lot of things. Carne adobada can refer to a New Mexican dish, and so I don't know if they're referring to this New Mexican dish, which I believe is a braise.
Okay.
But the adobada, which literally means like it's the adjective form of like adobo, right? Anything marinated in an adobo. So it's typically a bright red chili mixture with spices and all that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say that al pastor and adobada have like the same sort of roots in like the same kind of marinade. And some places in Mexico, they do al pastor that doesn't have pineapple on it. And then, you know, some would say that's just adobada. Either way, you take any meat and you marinate it in chilies and spices, and I am absolutely in. But getting down into, like, the nitty-gritty of the differences to me is really cool, and that's where, like, the spice of life and cooking comes into play.
Agreed, yeah. 100%.
They're like carne asada just means, like, every recipe that you see on, like, Food Network that publishes for carne asada is, like, put cumin and coriander and all this stuff in the marinade, and carne asada is just like it's grilled meat.
Mm-hmm.
It is meat cooked in fire.
Yes, very good.
At the Kevin, my mom taught me to add some fish sauce to my ice cream, and it's changed my world.
For the better or for the worse?
Yeah, that change is you have not described it either positively or negatively.
Yeah.
I love adding fish sauce to almost every savory dish that I make. I have made a fish sauce caramel ice cream, and I did not enjoy it nearly as much as I wish I did, because fish sauce caramel on like braised
savory
catfish or pork is delicious. Ice cream,
yeah.
It was not my jam. I don't like miso ice cream either. A lot of people have been doing that. It's like a cool, funky thing.
I've never had miso ice cream, but I've had miso in like pastries and desserts before, and it's really good. Something about the thought of fish sauce and ice cream makes me unhappy.
But it's just that like umami and sweet, I don't love. I love salty sweet.
No, I love umami and sweet.
What sweet umami things do you like?
Well, miso and chocolate chip cookies is good.
Mm, you do love that?
Yeah, I do.
I like chili crisp and ice cream. Lao Gran Ma, Sichuan chili crisp is good. But to me, that's like...
That's not umami, though, really.
It's not umami. Yeah, you get like... I love because you get the toasted chilies and you get the nut, you know, the peanut in there. Mm-hmm. There'll typically be some garlic, which is like cool. But like that works for me. What? Oh, because I said get the nut... Oh my God, Nicole, grow up. We're talking about actual nuts. What are you talking about? We're talking about legumes.
Sorry, I'm 12.
Anyways, you get the nut and the cream, and it's delightful. Go on.
Okay. Real Steve Bat. Barbecue kebabs are a waste of time and energy if you put the protein and veggie on the same skewer. They cook unevenly and suck. Separating the proteins and veggies on different skewers helps things cook evenly. But by then, what's the point? Just grill a protein and grill a veggie and save yourself the prep time. The Shish Kebab Council would like a word. You have a point, and I understand that point completely. Just be chill, man. Like, just
be cool,
just
brother. Be cool.
Yeah, be cool, bro. I mean, like, yeah, you make a lot of sense, but I don't even like shish kebabs.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Are they even common in actual like Middle Eastern food?
I don't know.
I've never gone to. I mean, I get kebab a lot from Persian restaurants, and yeah. I almost never see the veggies cooked with the meat on the skewers.
Yeah, I don't think they do it a lot in like Persian cookery. Probably in Lebanese cookery, they might add some onions, some red peppers.
Yeah.
But like I don't know. Like if I think it's a very like anglicized skewer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a thing that you would. I'm imagining like 80s movies where the dad's grilling in the backyard. He's like, "Honey, we got shish kebabs tonight," and you know he's got some overcooked steak with some undercooked bell pepper on it.
Yeah, I mean,
I think there is a valid criticism here, but also if you craft it properly, because I've done it at home because it's it looks kind of cool, and it's easy. And I've done it for meal prep, and it's nice to just kind of throw a stick in my bag.
Yeah.
But if you use like chicken thigh. And then, meats like onion and bell pepper that won't, like, overcook.
Yeah.
That is really delightful. Because chicken thighs, you can't overcook a chicken thigh. I, like, firmly believe in this. You can certainly burn it. But chicken thighs are done at 160 degrees. Someone from America's Test Kitchen did this test, found out they actually taste better at about 195 degrees.
Interesting.
When the protein seizes up more. Because I've had some kind of, like, chicken thighs that I've temp checked to, like, 165 and eaten. And they're like, yeah, it's just.
It's all that tissue, yeah.
Yeah. And so you get that, like, internal sort of temp up to break down the connective tissues. So chicken thigh really works. But if you are someone who like insists on medium rare meat, which we've talked about this before, I mess with well done, beef, especially something like
sometimes,
tenderloin.
Yeah.
It's really delightful. So you can do that, but I think you have a shred of a point there.
Yeah.
At Kellen Howe 99, dipping cucumbers in straight up mayo is bomb. Yes, sir.
I've never done that
yes,
before.
Sir.
I don't do that. I would never do that.
If you would dip cucumbers in cream cheese or dip it in like ranch, mayonnaise is 90% to ranch.
But it's boring.
It's like 5 seconds to Mars.
No.
90% to ranch.
30 seconds to Mars.
What's 5 seconds? 5 seconds of summer.
Yeah. You mix
but Veronica Mars. Veronica Mars.
I can't. I don't know. I mayo's boring. I need something else with the mayo. Put some cracked black pepper in the mayo,
Then
we can
talk.
Then we can talk. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Spicy mayo? I'll dip my cucumbers in spicy mayo. I don't care.
It's funny what a couple drops of hot sauce do to your perception of a food.
Very true. Right? It makes it pink. I like pink. Dip it in pink. Okay. And Hillarella says, tomatoes don't belong on a burger. They're slimy, raw, and slide around and just make the experience weird. Okay. So I agree sometimes. If your burger is a wet-ass burger, which it probably is if I'm making it, don't put the tomato. It's going to be too wet. It's going to be too sloppy.
Mm-hmm,
don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a dry burger, like a cookout burger.
Like even like In-N-Out, I'm thinking, right? Like, I mean, In-N-Out.
In-N-Out, sometimes I don't do tomato. Sometimes I do.
Really?
It depends on my mood. Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking like a thin enough patty to where it's not going to bleed a bunch of juice.
Yeah. If it's a cookout burger, if it's like a homemade burger, yeah, it's fine. You can totally like put a tomato on it. But typically, I don't know if you realize this, but during the burger myths episode that we worked on.
I'm familiar.
Yes. I didn't put a tomato on it because I didn't want it.
Injured, really?
I didn't want it. I didn't need it.
They could have thrown off the whole science experiment because we here in Mythical Kitchen are committed to science.
Well, you're the one who said we should do it by preference. We even made two different burger sauces.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. I maybe agree with this. I don't want to take the essentialist stance that say they don't belong in a burger. More often than not, I have been burned by raw tomatoes on burgers because they make things slide around. And I think that is true. And also they add more juice to the equation. Where the juice coefficient, Maggie, is too high. Too high of a juice coefficient. You're going to get slideage on that burger. So what I do, because I love tomato flavor, is I roast my tomatoes till they lose all that moisture. And then they just, not to the point of like a sun-dried tomato, but till they lose a lot of that moisture and they become jammy and almost kind of like a condiment that you can kind of spread. And you're saying, Josh, why don't you put ketchup on it?
Like I already did.
I already did.
I did my own ketchup.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Roasted tomatoes on a burger. Get it. At Ladybird 2223, peanut butter is tastier and more versatile than Nutella. You are preaching to the choir.
Josh, you need to
stop. I fully agree.
Stop with the burner accounts. I didn't say anything for a few weeks.
I have up to 15 burner accounts that I use to advance various political agendas in small microstates.
I saw a documentary about microstates.
Oh, did you? That's cool.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I'm trying to foment revolution in Tuvalu.
Oh, my God. I know all about Tuvalu. I know all about Tuvalu. It's sinking.
It's actually really sad. Yeah. That's climate change is real. And,
Tuvalu is sinking, and it's all because of the ice caps. But, okay, the only reason, I agree that it's more versatile, but you haven't lived until you've come home from school and you told your mom you got an A on a math test and she gave you a spoonful of Nutella as a reward. You haven't lived until you've tasted sweet, sweet success.
I love how it's there's something so baseline and animalistic about that. It's not like she was like, oh, we're going to go out and get your favorite meal or no. I'm going to make. It was like, you did good. Here is spoonful of sweet. Here's just spoon of sweet in your mouth because Nicole Good, she gets sweet. It's like how you train a dog. And look at you. You're successful now. You host a podcast. Good job, Shala. Good job. You raised a good one with your Nutella bribery.
It worked.
All right. At Melody Pond 83, gluten-free pretzels are better than regular ones because they crunchier.
Stop.
I've had gluten-free pretzels and they are quite crunchy. I don't know if I can tell the difference.
I've never done a test side by side.
Me neither. But that might be the only case in which like a gluten-free thing. So actually some gluten-free like cakes are really nice.
Gluten-free cookies are sometimes really good. Yeah. Like the thin. If you're like a Tate's cookies person and if you like thin crispy cookies, try a gluten-free cookie.
Yeah, cuz you don't need gluten like obviously helps baked goods rise and stuff.
It makes it like more delicious.
But like it's certainly more important for like bread dough. And so something like a pretzel, like if you're not trying to get that chewy and you just want the crunchy, yeah, gluten-free people, have fun with the pretzels.
The one joy in your life.
The one joy.
Let it be pretzels. Okay, last one of the day. Daniel Wen 129794 says, is pizza an open-faced sandwich? 1, 2, 3.
Nah. Yeah. Wait, did you say yeah?
Yeah.
Oh my God, no, it's not. Of course it's not.
You ever folded a pizza?
Yeah, but that's not a sandwich because the pizza dough is cooked separately.
Says who?
What sandwich is
cooked separately?
No, I'm saying, the pizza dough is not cooked separately. I'm saying, what sandwich exists where the bread is simultaneously cooked with the toppings? It's not a sandwich, it's a flatbread. A flatbread is its own categorization.
This one!
And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or at Hendizada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
And if you want to share pictures of your feet, hit us up at Mythical Chef John. I'm just kidding. That's a terrible joke. We'll see you next time.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.